Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Charlie B. Cornell. I'm joined by Andy Datsun.
Hello, Pete.
Hey.
How are you?
I am good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Drove up here this morning. So, feeling pretty good.
Going
out with a lady partner after this.
Ooh, where to?
We're going to something that you just described as very boring, the Science Gallery.
Don't people break the curtain, mate?
Which is next to the Shard, and it's like a smaller museum, and they've got a big exhibition on the effects of anxiety.
See, that is not boring. Mm. What you said is, we're going to a gallery. I assumed art gallery.
Oh, art
that's boring.
Art galleries
in my
aren't boring.
Opinion.
Anyone who likes art galleries, you're boring. No. I don't like modern art.
No, I don't either.
Because no. I can't. And I appreciate the people who have a brain who can go and look at something and go, oh, that means that. But I look at that and go, that looks terrible.
That looks like paint.
Yes. There was a. I went to one in Nottingham once, and there was a big green sheet of paper on the floor. Not paper, like felt.
Mm-hmm.
And people were walking past it, and you could see everyone sort of, all these art nerds kind of nodding their heads. And after a while, someone who clearly was like, that's not art, walked up to it and lifted it up. And it turned out the actual artwork was underneath the piece of felt. And all these people are going, yes, yes, green felt. And there was another piece on the wall, which was just someone who had coloured in an entire A4 piece of paper with a pencil.
And that was the art.
That is art. That, because that means they were bored.
Yeah. I mean, I've done that.
Yeah.
I used to do that on my Nintendo DS when I was bored. I used to just colour in the bottom screen because I could. Maybe I'm an artist.
Yeah.
Maybe I am.
But they've got an exhibition at the moment on anxiety and the effect on the society, which I think is very interesting.
That's
good.
It is very interesting.
Everyone.
Yeah, totally.
So, I'm looking forward to that. And then hopefully she'll let me watch the football later.
And that's the important
part. Yes, exactly.
I mean, as has been revealed on the WrestleTalk podcast previously with Ollie and I also think maybe Luke, I've done a rap song that is titled Anxiety.
Oh, so that sounds edgy.
It's quite serious, but that would actually very interest me going to
Finishes next Sunday, so if you're gonna go now or before next Sunday at least. So it's right next to the Shard.
Okay, that's not far.
So if you're in London, look up. You'll see the Shard.
just look up anywhere.
Walk towards it. For those who don't know, the Shard is the largest or tallest building in the UK. And
is it the tallest building in Europe?
I think it either is or was very briefly.
Oh, maybe.
But it's, certainly not the tallest in the world, as that is the Burj Khalifa in Abu Dhabi.
Is it Abu Dhabi?
Dubai.
Or is it Dubai?
What's the difference?
Because what's the difference?
Abu Dhabi is the capital.
I thought you were Mr. Geography Man. You should know that.
Abu Dhabi is the capital of the United Arab Emirates.
Yes.
And Dubai.
Dubai is in Qatar, which is a different country.
Dubai's not in Qatar. Dubai's also in the United Arab Emirates.
Maybe I'm the racist one.
Yeah. See, I knew, because I was like, I'm pretty sure they're in the same place, but I think they're very close to each other.
I always thought.
You know, the capital of Qatar is Doha.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, you know.
My dad once did some work for the Queen of Qatar.
That is, in fact, a story.
He wrote a speech for her.
Mm.
So there you go.
The more you know. You don't come to the WrestleTalk podcast for education.
No,
but education
exactly.
is what we give you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before we get into the main show, I've got a quick email here from Marcelino, a.k.a. the Cosmic Anvil, who says, "Dear Pete and most likely Andy, I want to say thanks for all the content you make, especially in these times when we swaffed under members are literally on fire. Crying with laughter emoji. It's been disheartening, especially with all the distraction and sadness. I live in Adelaide, so luckily we've been safe, but places like Canberra are so bad that at one point it had the most toxic air in the world, leading to many people, including some of my friends, ending up in the emergency. Thank you for raising awareness on your platform, Marcelino."
Well, yes. No, absolutely. And, I mean, it's not being reported as much in the news. I don't know whether that's because the fires are slowly starting to kind of be kept under control or whether it's just one of those things where this is a massive news story for a week and then they kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
Like, we had the whole Iran stuff last week and then Harry and Meghan decided that they didn't want to be too royal anymore and that was the entire front page of every news website. Yeah. But I saw a... there's a subreddit called Unethical Life Pro Tips.
Mm-hmm.
And I am, by the way, 100% not making light of the situation in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a fact known about koalas that there is a 20% chance that a koala has chlamydia.
Right.
So the Ethical Life Pro Tip was that if you've saved a koala, but you've also been cheating on your wife and have managed to get chlamydia, then you can just blame the koala.
What?
If you've saved a koala and you're keeping it in your house, but you've also been, like, adulterous and managed to catch a Baron Corbin, then you can just go, it was the koala. And you can show your wife the proof on the internet that koalas can have chlamydia.
That is...
There was a member of One Direction who once caught chlamydia from a koala. I think it was Louis. Or Niall. Niall koala.
Well, while you look that up...
Yeah.
Best wishes to everyone in Australia, because like we said, it's not been in the news as much over here for whatever reason, which it definitely should be. And I hope everyone's safe and everyone can be all right going forwards, because it's not the best situation. But while you're finishing looking that up, we should get into the main show, where we're going to be talking about a huge WWE return on SmackDown. Here's the show. Let's talk about this segment.
Yes.
So this was...
It's a segment, not just a return. It's a whole
segment. It's an entire main event segment as well. But this... I've already seen some comments in the chat where I've been keeping tabs on it. And I've seen some people saying this isn't a huge return. And people saying it's clickbait and all that stuff. From my perspective, it is a huge return. Not necessarily saying that Robert Roode... Because, spoilers, it's Robert Roode that returned.
What?
I know.
Oh, I should have watched it.
I know. I'm not saying that he's a huge star. I'm not saying, you know, this is going to change the needle for SmackDown or anything. But this was in the main event of SmackDown, and he's part of the most promoted angle, the most promoted feud on SmackDown that maybe, you know, Fiend, Bryan possibly up there. But this is a feud that's gone on for ages. He's been an integral part of it.
Mm-hmm.
He was taken out with Roman Reigns attacking him. They came back and they beat up Roman Reigns and they left him lying where Robert, like in a mirror of what happened to Robert Roode before. For me, that's a pretty huge angle. That's a pretty big, significant return of SmackDown. So that's why I called it a huge WWE return.
See,
that's not me trying to be misleading.
I was like you. When Pete said huge return, I was like, come on, it's Robert Roode.
Mm-hmm.
And then he explained it and I went, yeah, actually, good point. You've got a point there. Now, that is because just because the person isn't the biggest, I mean, it's not Edge returning, but it's in the main event.
Yeah.
It's in the main event that's been in the main... It's been the main event of SmackDown for, like,
that's
months.
Been the opening and closing.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, I know he's not the biggest star, but he came back, made a big impact, and actually... beat up Roman Reigns, whereas most of the time Roman Reigns gets beat up a bit, but then gets sort of gets back at whoever it was. He actually successfully attacked Roman
Reigns, which is a pretty big deal.
Busted Roman onto a table and helped Dolph kind of put him through the table. Yeah. So I think you've got to sort of not just see it at face value. You've got to think about the sort of what goes on around the return as well as just the moment of, oh, look, it's Robert Roode again.
It's this person, yes.
Because, yeah, when I saw Robert Roode, I mean, I was expecting it to happen because his wellness policy violation suspension is now over. Yeah. Or, well, no, wait, he's just about recovered from that table falling on top of him.
Yes.
Which, by the way, means if you want to keep consistent, Roman Reigns shouldn't be seen till Roman Reigns is out of the Rumble.
Roman Reigns is out of the Rumble.
Yeah.
Unless...
Sorry, guys.
He's the big dog, which he is, which means he can come back even quicker.
My favourite part was how the ref just kind of went, you're right under there, Roman. And he was like, probably, yeah.
We should talk about the segment as a whole before we get to the specifics of things. So this was the main event angle of the show.
It was.
And it was the Usos versus King Corbin and Dolph Ziggler. It started off with Roman Reigns coming out and him saying, you know what, 2019 wasn't great for me. I got jumped a lot. I got embarrassed by Corbin and his crew, yada, yada. I've always had people who've had my back. I was like, have you?
Yeah.
No one ever come to your aid before.
You are well known for being beaten up for several minutes without anyone helping you.
Yeah. But now... He didn't need friends, he needed family. And that's, he's going to go on, he's going to win the Rumble, he's going to main event WrestleMania again, with the Usos at his side, and then he calls, brings out the Usos, and the Usos come out, and they come down, and they go, day one-ish, yeah.
The best part of this was how he went, 2020 is going to be my year. Crowd went, yeah! I'm going to win the Royal Rumble. Yeah! And I'm going to main event WrestleMania for the fifth time. It was
a decreasing
enthusiasm from the crowd there. But good for him. And he's still much more over than he has been any other years. Because last year, that would have got... Well, he wasn't there this time last year. But okay, let's say 2 years ago, that would have got a boo.
Boo.
Year before, boo.
Yeah.
At least this year, it's a kind of semi...
We want to cheer you, but don't do that.
Yeah. But yeah, so the Usos came out with not as good haircuts as they left with. Not that I can talk, but
okay.
Yeah, so and to be honest, it was good to see them back, but
yeah,
they did a bit of rapping and then were interrupted by
King Corbin because they were doing, you know, day one-ish, etc. And before they got to say welcome to the Uso Penitentiary, it was King Corbin came out and then he said some stuff about big dog family. I'm going to beat up the big dog's little bitches.
Yeah, he said,
you're
scared of me and you're hiding from me in the Rumble. So Roman was like, well, if you think that, then let's have a match one-on-one at the Rumble. So, yeah. So
it's probably going to be Roman v. Corbin at Royal Rumble, and then they're probably going to have an interaction in the Rumble match itself because this feud can never
end. And you'll know that they were in a match the other night because they'll run down going, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Roman will be
selling,
as he comes
his
out,
elbow.
He'll walk out and go, oof.
Yeah, he'll go. And then Corbin will kind of limp a bit and rub his shoulder, and then there'll be an interaction, and I imagine Roman will throw Corbin out.
Probably. And Lesnar, and then he'll win.
Yeah, all right.
Anyway, the match finally starts of Usos v. Corbin and Ziggler. This was a really confusing match, I thought, because it started off and it was fine. Usos were in control a little bit, doing some of their offense. It was nice to see Usos doing their stuff again. But then, out of nowhere, the Revival come out. It's like, why are you here?
Yes.
The commentators were like, oh, you know, the Revival, part of King Corbin's, the people that he's with.
Like,
are they? They were there before when they were feuding with New Day. But like, why are they here now?
Heels. Hashtag.
Hashtag heels, I guess. They come out, cause a distraction, which causes Roman Reigns to come out.
Where had he gone?
Even though he was already out there anyway, he then left when the match started, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he came back out with music and everything. He did one Superman punch that took out both Dawson and Wilder.
My two theories are either that he did a punch that went like across like
speaking
that,
to a mic.
Like, I know, but it's hard. That kind of went across like punch, punch.
Yeah.
Or he punched Dawson's head
Wilder's head.
Because if it was my head, you would have been knocked out.
That's true, yeah.
Well,
that's what happened to them.
Yeah.
Because they were never seen again after this one Superman punch. They were gone. So then Reigns is now there after an ad break. Reigns is at ringside.
Mm.
Why couldn't you just had Reigns at ringside after the promo he cut?
Especially after he talked about people having his back.
Yeah.
This is my family.
This is my family. You guys have a match. I'm out.
Yeah.
Reigns... is now at ringside. And then after a little bit of a schmoz, which kind of was really quick, and then suddenly Reigns hits a spear on Corbin.
Yeah.
DQ. Ding, ding, ding. What?
What?
I was really taken aback.
What kind of ruined this match a bit for me to start off with? Not saying it was a bad match, but when I kind of hovered over the screen, I saw there was like 8 minutes left. And I was like, well, this isn't going to be an eight-minute match. This is going to be an I kind of knew it was going to be interference because of the match that it was. But when you see that a main event has only got less than 10 minutes left, you're thinking, well, this is just going to feel a bit rushed.
Yeah. And it was.
Roman hits the spear, ding, ding, DQ, and then...
Robert Roode comes out from out of nowhere. Comes out and he starts attacking. Roman hits a glorious DDT on the outside, takes off his shirt. He's jacked, by the way.
He really is. It's all... No, I'm not going to say it.
Nope. So then, so he's back, and then they start beating up on Roman. Usos are still out from something.
Corbin hits a deep six.
That's right, on one of them. Yeah.
And I think
Ziggler hit a super kick on one of them?
Yeah, I think one of them gets super kicked. So Roman gets...
It's all kind of muddled.
Yeah, Roman gets thrown into Robert Roode, who kind of spins him into a bit of a slappy spine buster, sort of straight onto the table.
Oh, that looked horrible, by the way, because I'm pretty sure the table was supposed to break from the spine buster, and it didn't.
Particularly because Ziggler's elbow drop looks so naff after that. He just got up on the table, did this sort of standing elbow drop just to make sure.
He does it sometimes in the ring, just to make sure
that the table broke.
Yeah.
Which it did. And then it cut away to them all celebrating. And then it cut back, and they were like, Roman was under everything. Like, has Roman grabbed stuff and put it on top of himself?
They were too busy showing a replay
of
the spinebuster and then Ziggler's elbow drop through the table. Then when we came back, Roman Reigns has been buried underneath the table and a chair and all sorts of stuff in a mirror of what happened to Robert Roode before.
Yeah.
It was all right, wasn't it?
It was fine. No, it's a fun spot being buried under stuff because it looks... a lot worse than it is. It's one of those things where you can kind of do it and you think, oh, wow, that looks terrible. But actually, it's some MDF plywood and a couple of office chairs.
Yeah.
I think even I could sort of sustain that for a few minutes. and it's funny because it mirrored the spot that kind of put Roode out. And if Roman's back next week, then it puts him over as like, he doesn't need a month and a few days to kind of recover from this.
Yeah, how weak is Roode? Am I right, lads?
Exactly. But it looks like this feud will continue.
Yes, it will.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw at least two or three of these people in the Elimination Chamber as well.
Oh, totally. Yeah, for sure.
So
I don't know if Roode had the best threats when he was kind of mouthing off to Reigns after he hit Glorious DDT. He just goes, look at your family. I'm back. Are those two things linked, or is that just like two... Full stop. Look at your family. Full stop. Oh, by the way, I'm also back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was a pretty muddled and overbooked main event.
It was.
But Robert Roode's back, and it was a coolish return. There was a nice little spot for it.
Yeah.
I'm just really over this feud. Really over it. And I'm really, really hoping that Royal Rumble is the end of it, because then it's only like a couple of weeks away. Got a couple more weeks of Big Dog and dog food and whatever else. And then hopefully, after probably Reigns wins the Rumble, they can just go about their separate ways and Corbin can do something with better material.
Look forward to at least a few more weeks of variations of this six-man.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with another babyface chucked in there.
Possibly.
I don't know. Name one, quickly.
Shorty G.
Yeah, Shorty G or Mustafa Ali or someone like that. This is going to be the kind of... It'll be Reigns and the Usos versus those three next week, probably. And then it'll be the Usos versus...
I reckon it's going to be Usos versus Roode and Ziggler next week.
Mm.
And then week after, it'll be the six-man with Corbin and Reigns as well. Because it's really different when you add in those extra two people.
Absolutely.
So different.
Well, I can't wait for that to main event the next two SmackDowns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Let's see what you guys thought. Let's get into some Susu Super Chats, or in this case, Susu Super Chat. Flame Inc. said, WWE needs to stop using stars who have been retired slash quit. WWE should build up their current stars and stop using and stop expecting old stars to help ratings.
I think he's referring to Edge. That's my suspicion.
I think he's referring to John Morrison, but also, he's not retired or quit. He was doing stuff elsewhere.
No. John Morrison is still very much a good and very physically impressive wrestler. I'm not saying totally. Edge isn't, but I'm just referring to Edge. It looks like
Edge may well
have been cleared for at least one match. The ever reliable WrestleVotes tweeted yesterday, "So you think you know me?"
Yes.
Which, as many people know, is the start of Edge's entrance music. And he's often done this in the past to kind of hint at storylines that he knows are about to happen. Edge could be coming back, so if you've got any thoughts on that one, let us know.
I'm sure you do, because I have several thoughts.
I could do without it, but I think if it happens, I'll still be excited.
I'm gonna be so excited if it happens, but I only want it to happen if he's ready to do it. Let's get into the full review of the show.
Whoa.
So the show kicked off with Miz TV, which I thought was a really smart choice, because I feel like the Miz story was kind of the most intriguing one from last week's show.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good choice just to kind of open up with this one just straight away. Miz came out, and I thought he did a really good job of being the heel who thinks he's a babyface.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
He was kind of having it up to the crowd, saying, you know what, I just had a bad day last week, referring to him attacking Kingston after the bell. My emotions came through, and he apologizes to Kofi and says, you know, I didn't mean it and all that stuff. I thought he did a wonderful job of being the heel, because then he completely undermined his apology by then saying, but I have been going through a lot, so it's kind of okay that I did it.
Yeah, but it's almost, you can kind of relate to that anyway, because there's definitely been days where I've been just in a bad mood and someone's gone, oh, come on, cheer up. And that's just made me feel even
more
worse.
More angry, because, totally.
And so it's a genuine emotion that people go through. And so at the beginning, I was kind of thinking, oh no, are they backtracking on this? Because I was actually convinced by the way he was kind of doing it. But it felt like the right way to do this, because it's a sort of, it's not the full, oh, you guys are, you're all rubbish, you all suck.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like that, that kind of heel turner, so obvious that you can't miss it. It was the him trying to kind of explain himself.
And I think he was trying to convince himself that he was still a babyface as well. Yeah, it was great. He then brings out John Morrison, who kind of does a big kind of woo return.
Randy Danson, 4th of January. I reckon next week Morrison will be on Miz TV. I'm so clever. Sometimes I just outdo myself. Anyway,
yeah,
carry on.
It's great. Morrison came out, did his thing with the pyro. No slow-mo, though, on his entrance.
I was disappointed by that. It was one of my main notes. I was like,
although, he's a heel.
He is a heel.
So you can't have that. But he calls. He comes out, and I said, you can both tell that they're heels because they're wearing sunglasses indoors.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty bad. Saying.
Miz throws to a video package for Morrison and says, hey, in case you forgot who John Morrison is, here's all the things that have happened to him.
Which I think is quite clever, because John Morrison last wrestled, when was it, 20... Early 2010s.
11? 2012?
Yeah, I want to say early 2010s. Yeah. So there'll be quite a lot of the younger...
In WWE, you mean?
Yeah,
sorry.
The younger audience who won't know who
he
is.
Yeah, who don't know.
Who
yeah.
will have seen him last week and gone, Dad, who's that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it was a good little package, and it kind of reminds you of what he's about.
Yeah, and he actually cut a half-decent promo. There were some bits I thought he was kind of faltering a little bit.
Yeah.
There were some bits I thought they were actually quite funny.
Yeah, I thought that he came across as a bit nervous.
Yes.
Maybe just because it's his first time in so long.
I think that's generally how he used to cut promos as well. I don't think he's super confident on the mic necessarily. But he was saying, you know, they were filming the WWE Chronicle for his return at the Rumble.
Yeah.
And he was going to be carried down by a load of little dogs. You can only have little dogs because there can only be one big dog, as we know.
Nah.
But it was a nice little comment. And he's saying, but you know what? It got to a point where you just need to be there. For one of your best friends.
Absolutely.
So that's why he came back before the Rumble, which I thought was a really nice way of him having an anticlimactic return of, you know, last week he was just in a backstage segment. But it almost makes sense for the story because he's saying, well, I should have come back at the Rumble and had all the fanfare, had all the crazy pyro and whatever else. But I decided to come back for my friend, which is why you only just see me backstage, which I thought was great. It was a really nice justification for it. But then Morrison flips a switch and he goes, you know what? I'm disappointed in the WWE universe. And he takes off the sunglasses as he says it. Oof. And he turns around to all of them and says, they were chanting Miz sucks last week.
Yeah.
After all the work that he's done for 15 years for all of you. And no one thought he could make it as a WWE star. And now he's here and he busts his ass
every
week.
Miz is his dad's fifth favorite wrestler.
I know.
As well.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Miz dad return confirmed.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's been mentioned now. And then saying, why are you disrespecting him, whatever.
Yeah.
Then he kind of takes it up a little level, and he goes, have you ever wrestled? I don't think you've ever wrestled. Talking to him. What about the douchebag next to you? Yeah. And then Miz is like, whoa. And just as he's like gone to that next level of insulting the crowd, the New Day come out.
Aww.
So again, it's not an outward... It's just as he got to that level of being like, you all suck, heel heat. They didn't quite get there yet. He just did the first line of it, and then the New Day come out and stop
it
again.
But it's enough so that it's obvious that they are going to be a heel pairing.
Absolutely, yes.
From now on and for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. New Day come out, and Kofi was just like, we don't buy your apology at all. You're not. Biggie had a great line when he said, you're not a good enough actor. You couldn't even be cast at the tail end of the Human Centipede, which I thought was very funny.
Don't Google that.
Yeah, don't Google that for kids. And then they're just saying, you suck, basically. The crowd were right because you're not being very respectful with your apology. If you'd have just said, I had a bad day,
and
left it at that. Not, I had a bad day, but... They were
and
unhappy.
The New Day are so good that as soon as they say, you suck, the whole crowd goes, all right, you suck.
We believe you.
And then, it was... What did he? Miz kind of then turned it back on Kofi. This is Pete's favorite line, by the way. Watch Pete's face as I do this.
Genuinely,
it was you lost the title quickly. I respect you smiling, especially because you lost it in 6 seconds. And then Kofi goes, "Huh, it was 8 seconds actually."
Oh, I hate it so much.
It doesn't come across. I think what WWE thinks that by him going, "Ha, mate, I know I lost, but I'm making fun of it." It makes him look cool. It doesn't. It just makes him look lame because 8 seconds as...
It's not a long time.
8 seconds is not better than 6 seconds. And I've been told that a lot in my life. So trust me. Kofi. It doesn't make you look cool, but no. It feels like they're trying to get it over.
They are, like, and
he'll
it really
be the 8 second man soon or something like that.
It sucks because it shows that he doesn't care about his championship.
Yeah, it sounds like he doesn't care that he lost it.
Yeah, he doesn't care that he lost the title. He's making light of it, mm-hmm. So the title feels worthless as well. He doesn't care about the reign that he had. And it just comes across really lame. It's like I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah.
I got you.
Like, I'm a trampoline. Whatever you say to me, just bounces straight back.
It's just lame. It's like, you lost it in 6 seconds. You're like, eight, idiot.
Yeah.
You're the idiot, Kofi. God, it really annoys me. Anyway, they say Miz is changing.
Rematch. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
They say Miz is changing. He sucks. They have a rematch. Kofi Kingston versus The Miz.
Mm.
I thought this was a fun match, but it wasn't quite as good as last week. I thought last week's match was masterful in the storytelling it had.
Yeah.
I thought this one was fun, but it didn't quite have the same story element to it this time.
No.
After the break, it starts off, with Big E and John Morrison on commentary. But then as they go into an ad break, Miz pushes Kingston into Big E.
Yeah.
All four of them kind of square off
and
after an ad break.
I think this was quite clever because Morrison was never going to be able to keep up with Big E on commentary.
Totally.
Because Big E's just brilliant.
Big E's hilarious.
So it was good they kind of let them just say a few bits and then take them off commentary, because otherwise it would just become blatantly obvious that mm-hmm. Big E would sort of just own him.
Totally.
So it was. I think that was just a better way of doing it. They kind mm-hmm. of said their bits. Oh, Miz is great. No, Kofi's great. Look at him. He's a legend. All that sort of stuff, as they always say. You were sort of then you were kind of waiting for Morrison to get involved.
Yeah, and he did later on. But there were some really nice spots in the match as well. There's a nice bit where Kofi was running into the corner. Mm. Miz kind of ducked out the way, and Kofi just jumps up onto the middle rope, immediately jumps onto the top rope, springs off and does a crossbody. I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
There was a really nice bit I liked from Miz, from some character work, when he was doing the world-famous It kicks.
I think you'll find they are the Yes kicks invented by Daniel Bryan.
Yep. Those ones. As he went to go do them, he kind of did one and then looked around the crowd, who started booing and started chanting like, oh, Miz sucks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he kind of looked a bit like thrown off, and he was like, and he's like almost not looking when he does the second one. It's a really subtle thing, but I really, really like the character work from Miz from it. Kofi rolls up Miz in the exact same way as he did last week, but Miz kicks out of it. Then there was an SOS, and Miz kicked out again. I was like, oh, this is actually pretty good.
Yep.
Miz got in a figure four, but Kingston manages to get to the edge. And this is where the finish happens, where Big E goes to check on Kingston on the outside, goes to him, but Miz gets really impatient, and he kicks Big E out the way. It's not like a proper kick, but he just kind of puts his foot on him and then pushes.
You actually kicked me under the table.
I did,
there.
Yeah. I don't know where your leg was. Why is it so close?
I have long legs.
Big E gets in Miz's face because of that. He's like, why are you kicking me? And as he's there, John Morrison just does a flip and lands on Big E.
Pete will tell you what it was called.
It's a side flip. In parkour, that's what it is.
Pete used to do parkour.
I did. And it's a side flip. But he just landed on Big E.
Did he shout parkour as he was doing it? Because that had made it a lot better.
No, it wouldn't. And anyone who's done parkour will tell you that is literally the most annoying thing someone can tell you about parkour.
It didn't really look like a wrestling move. He kind of just did a side flip.
He just did a flip and landed on him.
And it happened. He stuck the landing.
However, after he did it and he landed on his feet and just kind of stood there, I was like, oh, he looks awesome. Yeah. After he did the flip, just kind of stands there, standing over Big E. I thought that looked really cool. And then because of the distraction, Kingston gets distracted. Miz hits Skull Crushing Finale for the win.
Yep.
I thought it was really cool. Puts over Miz and Morrison as kind of a gelled unit. Granted, Kingston lost, not ideal. Sets up Big E versus John Morrison next week, which has been confirmed, which
and
I'm all right with.
Presumably the next SmackDown tag title feud.
Yeah, I mean, SmackDown tag division is actually looking all right now. Now we've got the return of the Usos.
Looking jacked,
Miz
man.
And Morrison, New Day, Revival. That's four really good teams right there. Yeah. I'm okay with it.
I mean, the Revival will not be there for much. Well, actually, there are varying reports on this.
Yeah.
But they'll either not be there for much longer or they're going to be there for the next 6 years. So.
Yeah, who can say?
Who knows?
Something that was interesting, I thought, as well, when they were celebrating after the match, Morrison on one rope, on one turnbuckle, Miz on the other. Miz did his old celebration that he used to do when he was part of Miz and Morrison. So instead of doing, like, you know, the point or the hands up or whatever, he did the one where he's got, like, the little finger indents and then just kind of does a slow rise like that.
What
he used to do when he was part of Miz and Morrison.
Kind of like,
yeah, it was that. But yeah, it did that instead, which was a nice little, like, throwing slide. Miz Morrison. I get it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was cool. After that, I've got these in the wrong order. I don't know how I've done it, but I've got these next two segments in the wrong order. So first, I think...
No, it was definitely five. It was Firefly
Funhouse first. I've written it wrong in my edited review that's going up later then.
Yeah, no, it was Firefly Funhouse definitely next. First, yeah.
This, I thought, was really cool. Firefly Funhouse, I thought, was awesome. So, Firefly Funhouse music starts. Bray Wyatt says, talking about the Fiend, he starts off going like, come closer. I love you!
That was
really nice. But then he's saying to Daniel Bryan, he said, first, the Fiend wanted you to remember. And it flashes up clips of him and the Wyatt family and that whole story. Bryan saying, yeah, I'm yours, blah, 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 whatever, pledging allegiance, and how that story ended with him hitting the running knee in the cage, which to this day, I think is one of the loudest yes chants I've ever heard in my life. It was awesome. And then he says, and then he just wanted to change you. And then it cuts the clips of him pulling out Bryan's hair in that angle that we had a few weeks back. And then he's saying, now he just wants to hurt you.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm in for this.
So it's kind of like, I've tried, Daniel, I've tried. Mm-hmm. But you just haven't let me. You just haven't let me in.
Haven't let me in.
So yeah, no, I it was good. It wasn't too long. It wasn't too rambly. It got to the point nice and quickly. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to this match. I'm looking forward to seeing how it's booked. I really hope it's not a classic. The Fiend just gets beaten up for ages and wins.
Yeah.
I hope there's a bit more to it than that. I don't mind there's a bit of back and forth because Daniel Bryan has enough kind of behind him to actually be able to wrestle the Fiend rather than just sort of hit him a bit and then go, oh, he's not being hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
But we saw there was a promo later in the show, which we'll talk about later.
Yes. I really hope just from this one that if the Fiend's goal is to hurt Bryan, that he comes out of the match and just goes ham with offense. Instead of just standing there and taking all the hits, he goes on the offense and just starts laying into Bryan. I think that would be really a nice change-up.
There could be a way, like he just goes into it, like you said, and just beats up Daniel Bryan, but then there's like a mandible claw and Bryan kind of manages to actually get out of it.
And then
it's the Fiend getting frustrated rather than the babyface getting frustrated. I think that'd be much more kind
that'd
of
be cool,
a newer dynamic that we haven't seen before that isn't just, the Fiend just getting need and standing up and kicking out everything.
Exactly. After that, we got Fire and Desire backstage. Sonya and Mandy.
Back together again. Yeah.
Sonya giving a rah-rah speech. Saying, we're gonna do the thing. We're great. We're Fire and Desire. We're gonna go win some matches, aren't we, Mandy?
Yeah.
And Mandy's like getting ready, not really paying attention. Sonya goes, aren't we, Mandy? She goes, what? Sorry. Because she's so distracted Otis.
She's thinking about him. And she whips out her big package. and
she's got a box.
Yeah. I just want to know what's inside now.
Just like Eric Rowan's cage.
Exactly.
I want to know what's inside.
Maybe,
and luckily,
maybe there's a cake inside Eric Rowan's cage.
Maybe there's a cake inside Eric Rowan's cage.
But speaking of which, there was a bit about Eric Rowan's cage in the next segment.
Yes, there was. There was Elias in the ring. Does a song running down everyone in the Royal Rumble. Talking about lots of various different people, but in particular, spoke about Brock Lesnar a lot.
He did spoke about Brock Lesnar. he says, I don't have anything against you, Roman, but you're not going to win. Who else doesn't he like?
Lots of people.
Eric Rowan's cage is horrible, but it's not as bad as the Lashley Lana sex tape.
Yeah.
Brock.
And he's saying Brock doesn't show up, and he'll happily send Brock packing, all that stuff. So Elias is coming out at number two, right? And Brock is just going to annihilate him for that?
I guess so.
I think the next few weeks, Elias is still going to keep doing songs about Brock.
Yeah.
And then it will pay off with Elias coming out and Brock just killing him.
A slow walk to the ring, playing his guitar, playing a song, walks in, Brock straight over the top.
Brock just kills him. Murders
him. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Fun way to start the Rumble, as they proved last year with Elias and Jeff Jarrett. I think that's... It'll either be him or it'll be someone like Drake Maverick.
That's a good
who,
one,
because... Just to be like, just so Brock can have that power spot where he could probably throw Drake Maverick back through the Titantron from the ring if he really wanted to.
Next up, we get the payoff to the special box that we saw earlier from Mandy
Rose.
Otis is backstage and he's looking all angry and upset. And then Tucker comes in and says, Otis, you've got to let it go, man. We've got stuff to focus on. Don't worry about it. You've got to focus up for the Royal Rumble. But then Mandy Rose comes in with the box. And she hands Otis the box, says she's sorry for letting Ziggler step on her cake, on his cake or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's made this for him as an apology.
Yeah. It might not be as good as his mum's. Yeah. But I mean, I think, I mean, Sonya Deville's quite clearly bored of this. And I think Tucker's quite tired of this.
Totally.
I mean, actually, Pete, you could say that he's feeling tuckered out.
Nope. She hands in the box. She says she's sorry for all that stuff. Otis opens up the box, and it's an I'm sorry cake that's in there. And it had a little sad face drawn on it. Otis's face.
Yeah.
Let me finish. Otis's face. His facial expressions in general are so amazing. When he opened the box, it was literally like...
Yeah. Just...
He's just so happy at seeing this cake. But before he can properly say anything, Mandy just runs off to go have a match.
I genuinely have once... You know Millie's Cookies do those giant cookies?
Yes.
I once upset a female partner and maybe 8 years ago now. And because I felt so bad, I got her a big cookie which said, I'm sorry on it. And it worked because we were 16 and that's what you need at that age.
It's true.
Yeah.
Speaking of the match that Mandy Rose is having, that came up next, and that was Alexa Bliss versus Mandy Rose, which I think is a Vince fever dream, I want to say.
Absolutely. Alexa Bliss is super over.
Yes, she is.
Doesn't have to do anything, but she's still super over.
It was classic. This was a perfectly average match.
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss was running wild. Sonya ran some distraction. Mandy hit a nice running knee on Alexa Bliss from a distraction, which was a nice near fall. Alexa Bliss, though, looked like she was in control. She was firing back, and she was firmly in control, looking like she was going to win. But what's this? Heavy machinery here.
Clonk, clank.
Say what? Otis and Tucker come out holding the cake. And because of that distraction, Alexa Bliss is kind of looking at the ramp. Mandy Rose rolls up Alexa Bliss and gets the win over Bliss. So Heavy Machinery inadvertently let Mandy Rose get the win.
Mm.
And Otis celebrates by eating the cake in the most Otis way possible.
But it could have been the plan all along. But before the match, we saw that little, tiny little kind of side screen clip of Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss.
That's right, yeah.
And Nikki's like...
Don't do it. Don't be Lorraine Kelly.
We're going to win the Rumble. Or at least one of us is, and it's not going to affect our friendship.
And then Alexa's like, yeah, of course. Well, as long as I win. And Nikki sort of, I don't think they're breaking up.
No.
But it's a kind of like, I think one of them's going to throw
the other one out.
Or they're going to try, and they'll be like, ah, it's everyone for themselves.
Got him. It's like that one bit where Roman Reigns eliminated Seth, and Seth's just like,
Roman.
You got me.
Yeah, now I don't get a match at WrestleMania, but we're friends, so... my notes for this match were slap, 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 knee, slap, knees, roll up. Because Alexa Bliss's only move in this match was a slap.
She did a cartwheely knee thing, right? Or the jumping knees.
Oh, that was when I said
knees. Oh, that was the knees.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Good offense.
It was fine. It went a bit longer than I was expecting.
It elongates this storyline, I guess. After that, we were supposed to have Lacey Evans versus Sasha Banks, but Sasha didn't show up.
Well, you don't kind of have two women's matches in a row, Pete.
I know, crazy. Bailey appears on the Titantron, says that Sasha's is in a real city.
Mm.
Boo.
Yeah.
She's in LA finishing her rap album, which apparently is actually a real thing. She's doing an actual rap album.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
I won't listen to it, but I'm sure it's fine.
I mean, she sang her old theme, so I'm sure she could maybe do some sort of musical thing. Perhaps.
Was that one?
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, she sang that, so
yeah.
I'm sure she's all right. Interesting line from Bailey saying that the only reason I'm here is because I'm contractually obligated to be here. She's tapping the title as she says that. So all champions have to be at work, Brock Lesnar!
Yeah, every week.
Jesus. But anyway, Bailey's like, the only reason I'm here is because I have to be. And Lacey's like, all right. And in response to Sasha not being there, the crowd chant, USA, because
honestly,
Sasha's
it is
from Boston.
It is
like what?
It is the easiest chant to get going in America.
You just got
to
do it, and everyone's like, "Yeah,
I am
America."
I am in awe of the patriotism.
I know. Same.
Can you imagine if it was a British wrestler went
UK?
No, and the crowd going,
"Boo!"
We don't like it either.
Yeah, we hate you.
But and then she would like.
Salute every so often.
She's really actually playing off it.
She is
brilliantly.
Really
because,
over.
Because those crowds love their country and their armed forces.
Yeah.
Therefore,
she's both.
This works brilliantly.
Yeah.
And so she's like,
when you come fat, me in the ring.
Oh, God, never do that again. never, ever do that again.
And Bailey's like,
Jesus.
No, I'm not going
to. No. Bailey doesn't sound like that. No, I'm not going to do that. And then you're talking about you have a snot-nosed kid. And then obviously Lacey's like,
what do you say about my child?
You just can't keep my daughter's name out of your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So she runs backstage to where Bailey was supposed to be because it says Bailey on the door.
And then Bailey's like, surprise!
Yes, surprise!
Can't say the next one.
Mother Lacey.
Yep. And then they had a quick brawl where it was like Bailey just bashed Lacey's head into the wall a bit.
Yeah.
And then she turned around and was like, huh. Got her. And then Lacey kind of stood up and went, no, you haven't.
Yeah.
And then she kind of hit her a bit. And then the referee pulled her off. And then that was it.
Yeah.
It's a nice diversion. So it feels a bit more like Lacey versus Bailey now rather than Lacey versus Sasha.
You would have been forgiven for forgetting that it's not Sasha who's the champion.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, we then get a recap of the Fiend and Bryan stuff from last week. And then Daniel Bryan is backstage with Kayla Braxton.
Mm.
And Kayla mentions all the things that Firefly Funhouse Bray said earlier. And Bryan, I thought, did a really nice job of breaking down each one of the points, saying that, I remember everything that happened, so he doesn't need to remind me of that. And yeah, he's changed me, but what he doesn't like is that he's changed me for the better.
Yeah.
And then he says, oh, he wants me to hurt? Well, that's cool, because I know that I can beat him. And he knows that I know he can be beaten.
Yeah.
And then, interestingly, on the screen behind them comes Rambling Rabbit out of nowhere from the Firefly Funhouse and just goes, hey, Bryan, you're right. The Fiend can be beaten. He is beatable. He has a secret. And the secret is... And then the Hurt Glove comes in, silences Rambling Rabbit, and then it pans up to Bray Wyatt, who just goes, snitches get stitches. Wink. Am I right, lads? And then he says, let me in.
Zooms in on his face.
What I
liked earlier from Bryan was he said, yeah, I have no doubt he'll hurt me, but he won't break me.
Yes.
Which is the kind of this whole thing that the Fiend's been doing to other people.
Yeah.
So I'm still really looking forward to this match.
Yeah, I'm well pumped for that. And especially if there is some sort of weakness or vulnerability or something that maybe it becomes apparent in the match what the weakness is, but Bryan still doesn't win.
Yeah.
So it's like, but then future people who face the Fiend, if like Roman Reigns wins the Rumble, wants to challenge the Fiend at Mania, let's say, Bryan can go to Reigns and be like, look, I know how you can beat him.
Yeah.
Here's how you do it.
His soft underbelly.
I think that is a solid story to tell.
Yeah.
And I think that's, if that is what the Fiend is going to be, if it is the end of the Fiend at WrestleMania, as the wacky, crazy prediction that Luke did, I think that is a really nice story. A one-year story from WrestleMania to WrestleMania started with his in-ring debut at SummerSlam, leading all the way through to WrestleMania. That is a really, really good story.
Yeah, with no blips.
With no mess-ups around October. There was none. None in October whatsoever. But I think, yeah, that's a really solid story. And if they can build off this weakness or secret or whatever it is, then that can build to further Fiend matches. Maybe not even this one, which I think is going to be great.
Mm.
Speaking of not so great, though, Braun Strowman versus Shinsuke Nakamura was all right, I guess. It was a match.
It was very Braun. It was him running at things and missing.
Yep.
It's fine.
There just wasn't anything special about this match at all.
This we're getting this match at Royal Rumble, probably, again.
Yep.
You're sort of just waiting for the others to interfere.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of spots where you look like they were just going to get themselves DQ'd by hitting him with either a chair or a belt. It was pretty much it, really.
Yeah.
And then Strowman kind of stops him from hitting the belt. Nakamura gets hit with a power slam. 1-2-3. Strowman picks up the belt, holds it up. Sami Zayn, you can't even see my hand on there. Hold it up.
Move in. I don't bite, you know. There you go. Now you're actually in shot. Well done.
Yeah, he holds up the belt and Zayn.
You an amateur. This is your first time doing it.
Yeah, and Sami Zayn runs in, grabs the belt, runs off. So
yeah,
it's fine. It was another way. It was more of a kind of remember this is still happening, this feud.
Yes.
Than anything actually.
Very much just kind of a holding match.
Yeah.
Is what it is. I don't like champions being pinned, but it's Strowman and he's probably going to beat Nakamura.
I don't mind too much. Strowman needs to win this because
he's never had a singles
amount
belt.
Of, I'm going to say the amount of times he has had championship matches and just been screwed out of it through DQs or Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, exactly.
Is ridiculous. Then we got the same Sheamus promo we've got the last few weeks.
Oh, God. Well, this one he actually mentioned Shorty G specifically. Yeah,
because size does matter.
That's almost it, but not quite.
Size does matter.
It's getting worse. I'm not really pumped for a Shorty G Sheamus feud. I was hoping it was going to be I kicked a random person in the face and now I'm going to go do this other feud.
Yeah. Doesn't matter, Pete. It's what we're getting.
Looks like we're getting Shorty G versus Sheamus and that's the feud. Don't want that. Bit disappointed with that. And especially because it's just, I'm big, you're small. Ha 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 ha. Which is every Shorty G feud we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Which is just really boring and I don't like it. Which is a shame, because Sheamus is great.
That was a rubbish joke.
It was. Which is why I quickly moved on. Daniel Bryan's backstage after that, goes into the locker room, and there's like a little present waiting for him there. Goes up to it, opens it, and there's Ramblin' Rabbit in there with half his head missing. Lovely.
Yeah.
Because snitches get stitches, or in this case, they just get decapitated, you know.
Full decapitation. It's mild decapitation.
Half decapitation. Yeah. Decap.
It's much better.
Half decapitation.
I reckon it's more like decappy.
Anyway, after that, we get onto the main event, which we spoke about before.
Yeah.
Usos versus Corbin and Ziggler with Robert Roode returning. Overall, I thought this was a fine episode. There was nothing particularly special about it. I really enjoyed the Fiend and Bryan stuff, and I think the Miz and Morrison stuff is good. Yeah. Not as good as last week, but I still think it was good and still went in the right direction. Otis is great, but it's quite a minor part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The women's title stuff is fine. The Nakamura Strowman stuff is what it is. There's nothing wrong with it, though.
Yeah, what I would say was there was nothing bad on the show.
No, there was nothing bad about it. There was nothing that was particularly great either. I thought there was some stuff that was pretty good, but there was nothing like, oh my God, that's awesome, on that kind of level. Overall, I gave it a smack bang in the middle, a 3 out of 5.
As did I.
Yes.
I think that's, I think most sort of people will, I'm not going to assume anything, but I imagine people will sort of agree with that. Because, but if you didn't enjoy it, you didn't enjoy it. If you loved it, you loved it.
Exactly.
That's the brilliant thing about wrestling.
Thank you for stating the obvious there, mate. I forgot to do the community tab poll earlier, so we don't have one of those, but let's get into your Susu Super Chats and let's see what you guys thought. We've got one here from Joe Libro. Said, Robert Roode looks like Triple H. He should grow his hair out and Triple H should make him like his 2009 self.
They have got similar physiques.
They do.
I think Robert Roode's a bit shorter.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both quite orange and they're both sort of quite a bit oily. And they've got the similar kind of
A similar physique.
Muscle tone. So.
For sure. We've got some general WWE-related super chats now. Heartland Outdoors said, Reigns versus Corbin at SummerSlam for the Universal Championship. End me.
No.
It lasts until SummerSlam.
When is SummerSlam? Because I'll go on holiday then.
August.
Yeah. It's like middle of August. So
sometime around my birthday.
You have to cover this on your own.
Yeah. We've got one here from Dan. So you want to talk Edge? Have a guess what he's going to talk about. If he's talking about Edge, what's going to be the next logical thing that Dan will talk about?
You too.
Kurt Hawkins. Come on, man. Do you even know Dan at all?
That's true. It was either going to be Kurt Hawkins or Goldust.
That's true. So you want to talk Edge? Smart thing is to protect him in a nostalgia tag match. Watch what Ryder and Hawkins will be doing in the near future. Edge heads.
No. My thought, he'll come in at 28, 29, and he'll be protected, and then he'll be...
I don't even think he's going to come in that late. I think he's going to come in mid-rumble. There's going to be loads of people in the ring, so he can do, like, a spear or, like, two spears. And then he'll hit like an execution or something, and then someone can like safely dump him over the rope where there's some people to catch him or something
or
like that.
Or he'll be hit with a safe move, and then he'll be able to he'll be in the spot on the corner rope going that for a bit. But no, I actually think he's going to come in really late, and then he will be in the final three.
You reckon?
And then he'll be knocked out, which, therefore, whoever knocks him out, I think it'll be the person who isn't Roman Reigns will knock him out, so they'll get booed, and mm-hmm. Roman Reigns will be like, hell nah, and throw him out, and for whoever that is.
Maybe.
So, yeah.
But not Edgeheads.
No.
Tim Arndt said, Edge was the guy who got me into wrestling, and he retired 5 months after I found him. A return would be just fine with me, given that he's healthy.
If he's healthy, if yeah, he's healthy, absolutely.
I'd be loving it. But and he's got awesome entrance music, yeah. So that'll make me
Brian Joyce, who has done some of the our videos and mm-hmm. is on the website, has an Edge tattoo.
Oh, that's
you know
cool.
The big fire, like black hole sun thing Edge has got on his shoulder?
He's sure. He's got the same one. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Matthew Robinson said, hi guys, been on vacation, glad to see you all again. Love the Daniel Bryan and Wyatt footage for this episode. Love that Ramblin' Rabbit trying to help. Mm. Yeah, I thought it was it's a really intriguing story, something I'm looking forward to seeing more of.
Absolutely.
Matthew Robinson again said, sorry, I know this is last Raw, but I did love how Street Profits made fun of the OC for being a teen drama show like you have made fun of before. That's true. The OC, when they're do you even watch our shows? When Ollie and Luke, when the OC first got made, and they were saying California.
Oh, of course, yeah,
all
yeah.
the time, and they did that on Raw. That was pretty good. I popped for it. Matthew Robinson again says, do you think that for the Royal Rumble, Brock should put the title on the line as an easy way to possibly lose the title without being pinned and looking bad since he's coming out as number one?
No, he's not doing that. He is going to hold the belt to WrestleMania.
Yeah, and also there's no character motivation for him to put the title on the line unless he's forced to. I think he wants to get into the Rumble because he can, because he gets to beat up a lot of people. That's the character motivation for it anyways. Flame Inc. said, thoughts on the rumored Hogan versus Vince at WrestleMania? Never heard that rumor, so...
I haven't heard that rumor. No. And also, that is possibly the worst idea I've heard all year.
No, just no.
Can you imagine?
No. I don't want to.
Oh.
No. Flaming again.
Throw Ric Flair in there for a triple
yeah,
threat.
Yeah, why not? Flaming again said, am I the only one who sees Brian trying not to laugh or smile when Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse packages? I always see him giving a smirk when it starts. I have not noticed that.
What was it? Sorry.
So saying whenever the Firefly Funhouse package starts, Brian always has like a little smile on his face, like he's smirking or smiling or something.
I haven't noticed that, but if he does...
Maybe he likes it. Maybe he's in on it. Maybe he is Bray Wyatt. I don't know. No, I haven't noticed that. Then we've got some general WrestleTalk related super chats as well. Dan said, since the question is burning, where's Dave? We answered that last week as well. For now, he's not going to be doing SmackDown reviews. Not saying we're never going to use him again for anything else, but for now, he's not on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Benny Sato, Tomo's number one fan, hashtag justice for Randy Andy Datsun. Randy Andy Datsun, hello!
Hello, Benny. Benny's one of my biggest fans.
Oh, I know.
He's a very nice man. I sometimes speak to him on Discord. So, hello, Benny.
Pabby let Andy out of his cage. He's right here. It says, I went on vacation because you guys didn't read my super chats for the weeks you weren't reading them. I have always read your super chats. I recognize your name all the time. It felt like my crush left my message on read. We've literally been reading all your super chats. I can guarantee that one. Yeah.
I would never leave your messages on read.
No, exactly. And Pabby let Andy out of his cage again. Says, hey guys, watching Stone Cold interview on Hot Ones made me want the cast of WrestleTalk to do the Hot Ones challenge. Please do it. Ollie would fail miserably. Also, if you want to see something similar, you can go over to ScreenStalker and watch our Super Hot Hot series, which is us playing Super Hot, but every time we die, we have to do a thing of hot sauce, and it's hilarious. So go and watch that.
The thing is, we remember that World Hottest Chocolate we had?
Mm-hmm.
Ollie didn't do well.
Yes.
But I did even worse.
Yes.
I genuinely cannot eat anything spicy. I really cannot do it. I mean, I'm so glad I wasn't playing that game with you because I don't think I would have
died.
Oh yeah, I would have died. I have a British and Swedish tongue which isn't used to spice.
Hey, British tongues are used to spice. Favorite dish is curry, mate.
I don't know. Yeah, but I have a chicken tikka masala.
Yeah, I guess it technically counts. Matthew Robinson again said, "Pete, you are great." Hashtag Matt the real boss Robinson. Thank you very much.
He is great.
Pavi let Andy out of his cage. Why did you just compliment me? What do you want? Pavi let Andy out of his cage again said, Andy, they let you out of your cage. Do more puns.
No, right. Oh, give me a sec.
Flaming says, Andy, stop trying to be punny. You're pun believable.
See, that doesn't mean he wants me to stop because he's done another
because
pun.
Because he's done another pun. Exactly.
Don't worry, there'll be one a week.
Yeah, one a week.
I often finish my SmackDown review and Pete looks over. I'm sitting there going, mumbling to myself, trying to think of the worst one possible. So, yeah.
Matthew Robinson again said, are you guys doing a fan get together soon? Not that I know of, but tonight, speaking of, Eve, Wrestle Queendom 3. I'm going to be there. Ollie's going to be there. Laurie's going to be there. You're not. Luke isn't. But if you want to come say hi, if you're there, come say hi. We'll be there. Wrestle Queendom. It's cool. Go to Pro Wrestling Eve. It's at the Great Portland Street, 229 The Venue. Mm. Be there tonight if you're going. Benny Sato, hashtag justice served for, justice served for Randy Andy Datsun, says, money for Andy Datsun impressions. You're doing an awesome job too, Pete.
But the next one.
Thanks, but never do impressions ever again.
But the next Super Chat, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty hurt.
William Buena said
Buena.
More. Buena? Buena said, more Pete ad-libs, less Randy. Pete, get a new friend. So, what are my ad-libs? I mean, this whole show's ad-libbed. It's not scripted. So what are my ad-libs? What do you mean by ad-libs? I'll do more of them. I just don't know what they are.
It's the first anti-me Super Chat I've had, and I don't know how to cope with it.
I've had plenty.
Well, I love you.
You're not special.
I love you, William Buena. I thought we had a connection, but I mean, if you really don't like me, then I'll just...
Leave.
I'll just leave forever.
I'll just do a solo show, I guess.
Yeah. No one wants that.
And we got some last-minute Super Chats here that just come in as we started. Matthew Robinson said, Otis Mandy storyline is the best part of the show.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's fun. And it's there. Funny.
I'd say Miz and Brian is better. But
it's still a wrestling show. I would like more wrestling. Totally. But yeah, it's a good sideline.
Jesse Venable said, weather knocked out my TV. Thanks for your reviews. Oh. No problem. We do our best.
Stupid weather.
Edited review should be going up later today. Hopefully not too long after this episode finishes. Flame Inc. said, Pete, sent you a link about Hogan wanting the match. Hogan wanting the match is not the same as a rumor of Hogan.
I think
Vince.
Also it's
everyone wants a match.
I also think it's Hogan says he wants a match and he's been talking to Vince about it. I don't think that's necessarily him wanting a match with Vince.
Hogan versus Vince. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that.
I don't think Vince wants a
even
match.
Even Hogan wouldn't want that.
Yeah, maybe. We got a couple more, actually, quick ones. Andrew Harris said, do your Lacey impression, Andy. Don't. Hashtag MVP Datsun. Don't do it.
That he's paid money.
Don't do it.
All right, I won't pay.
Now you just sound like Marge from The Simpsons.
Homer!
Yeah, yeah, exactly. King Rasta, a.k.a. Kairi Sane's current boyfriend. I don't think so, somehow.
He might be.
You never know.
I mean, he's claimed it.
He's claimed it, yeah. Love you guys. Support WrestleTalk.
Do that.
WrestleTalk. WrestleTalkMerch.com. Get some t-shirts like these ones. They're great. Andrew Kamal said, New Year wishes to you guys. I know I am pretty late, but I was on vacation. Well, welcome back.
Yes.
And thank you for your wishes.
I've had a nice time.
Happy Hanukkah.
Wow, what a return.
What a return.
On SmackDown, that
yep,
was.
The show has definitely happened.
Mm. Mm. I just can't believe that thing you said in the last segment.
It was so funny, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I mean, and that joke I told.
All the comments love me.
Yeah.
I know, it's crazy.
All the comments love me, apart from one person. Mm-hmm. It doesn't actively say they don't like me. They just say they miss Dave, which we all miss Dave.
We all miss Dave. He's great. Except I don't miss Dave because I still get to see him.
That's true. I don't get to see Dave. I've met Dave once and I had him for Secret Santa and he wasn't here. So Laurie got my present and crapped all over it.
He did, didn't he? Ollie crapped all over mine, in fairness.
I know, but mine was actually a good present
it
for the person
intended.
It was a very
good present. It was
a very good present. I almost want you to steal it and give it to Dave. Where is it?
I don't know because I might do that.
I think Laurie might have it somewhere. But if you can find it,
maybe.
Then steal it for Dave because it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
Laurie just went, this is a black mug. He's like, no, it's not just a black mug. If you put water in it, and I know he has put water in it because I saw there was a remnant of coffee.
It was the Guinness.
Was it still Guinness?
Yeah, from the Christmas special.
So he still hasn't used it?
No.
Right. Well, steal it, give it to Dave and say, this is from Randy.
Yeah, I might do that, but also probably not.
Yeah.
I was going to say something and now I've completely forgotten what I was going to say.
What are you doing the rest of the weekend, Pete?
I'm playing D&D.
Yeah?
I'm actually watching NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool 2.
I might watch that.
It starts at 8 p.m. on a Sunday. That is fine. And I've got Monday off from work, so
8 p.m.
Why not? Starts at 8 p.m, yeah.
I saw that it started at 4:30.
I saw it started at 8.
Well, we better check that.
Let's check that real quick. NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool.
I'll fill for time.
You fill for time.
Yeah, it's got Tyler Bate against
Jordan Devlin.
Jordan Devlin.
Yep.
Walter versus one of the coffees.
Mm-hmm. Cappuccino.
Roast. Yeah. Kaylee Ray versus Viper versus Tony Storm. And if you're a Patreon and you haven't put in your predictions yet, then you can go to patreon.com/WrestleTalk to find forms not only for NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool 2, but also Impact Hard to Kill.
I don't know where I got my information from.
Mm.
Pre-show starts at 4:30.
Yes.
Main show starts at 5.
Phew. Because that is what I have told Liam to cover.
I looked it up and it said NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool 2, 8 p.m. start.
Maybe you were looking at the Greek or Turkish one.
Yep, that's
because
exactly
then it
what it is.
Would have started at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. I think that's 3 hours ahead.
I have no idea, mate. I couldn't tell you.
But so that starts at like 5 for some reason. I don't know. I guess it's easy for Americans to watch. I mean,
it's easier for us to watch.
It is easy for us to watch. But so we're watching that. And then, unfortunately, the thing with Impact is that they always put their shows on even later than WWE do. And so
really?
I think it starts at midnight.
Oh, Jesus. That's earlier than WWE.
No, WWE starts at 11.
Raw and SmackDown start at 1.
That's true.
And then pay-per-views, depending on the length of the pre-show,
They
normally start at midnight.
But either way, we'll be covering it on WrestleTalk.com. So if you want to follow it, if you don't have access to it live, then you can follow live results. It's got some very interesting matches, including a moose versus a rhino.
Mm.
And
literally,
Blanchard.
A moose versus a rhino.
Yeah. Tessa Blanchard going up against Sami Callihan in an intergender match for
the
Impact World Championship, the newly red Impact World Championship. It was blue, but now it's red. So that'll
That's
be very
like the Universal
interesting
Championship, but in reverse.
Whether she wins that.
But before we get to all of that, I'm playing D&D on Sunday, and I'm very, very excited for it. This should be really, really good.
Are you Dungeon Master in this
one?
Or
no,
no,
I'm a player. I'm a player in this one with my good buddy. I'm a halfling rogue, yes. I'm super pumped for it.
Just looked at the camera and nodded there. Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that camera that we're not using for the audio portion of this content.
Mm.
I'm super pumped for that. It should be really, really great. And then on Monday, I'm going to start planning my gym plan because I'm going back to the gym. I know.
New year, new you.
Sort of. It just happily coincides that this is the time for me to go back. Going back to the gym, I've already started having better food apart from
like those crisps
the lunch
ate.
I had today. Shut up. Every other day this week, I've been really,
really
good.
I mean, my lunch was biscuits and a hot chocolate.
It was, yeah.
I will be getting something else after this.
Yeah, but biscuits and hot chocolate for now.
Yeah, no, I need to eat more food.
just in general.
I need to eat more food and better food because I eat a lot of food, but none of it has any nutritional value.
No, because you eat gummy worms and biscuits and hot chocolate.
They were vegetarian gummy worms, so they're probably made of asparagus. And
they have absolutely no nutritional value.
No, but they are from Marks and Spencer, and they are very nice. They are good. Have you ever had a Colin, the caterpillar? Just a Colin. Have you ever had a
Colin?
or a Brad?
No, I haven't had a Colin.
British
before.
People, if you've ever had a Colin the caterpillar from Marks Spencer,
Marks.
I promise you they are better than Percy the Pigs.
Couldn't tell you what any of those things
are. Oh, mate, Percy the Pigs. That's because you lived in Newcastle for so long.
I lived in Newcastle for like a year and
Poundland
a bit.
Poundland sweets.
A year and a bit. Maybe 2 years I was up in Newcastle.
And what was the biggest thing you did whilst you were up there?
Sleep.
Did you get engaged when you were up there?
Yeah, but not in Newcastle.
You got engaged! Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Pete. That is fantastic news. Well,
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I'm very proud of you.
You suck. You suck.
I've been. I'm currently in the midst of planning my 1 year anniversary date.
Has it really been a year?
It's been just under 11 months. So I'm kind of.
Oh, jeez.
I like to plan
in
advance.
That's right. Because it was just about when I started working here. Mm. Was when you started dating.
The first message I sent her was the 13th of February. So it was like the night before Valentine's Day. So I was probably feeling a bit sorry for myself because it was like the fifth year in a row that I've been like,
yeah,
I don't really care about Valentine's Day, but there's something about the eve of Valentine's Day and not having plans makes you go, oh man, I'm lonely.
Yeah, it's literally because everyone else in society is going, I'm so happy, I'm in a couple.
Exactly. I always like that really tweet sucks. Everyone puts out saying, hey, don't worry, no one else loves you any other day of the year. Either. Yeah. So, yeah, but no, I think
true.
It was just a coincidence that we both had gone, oh, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. Let's go on this app.
Mm.
Very good app, by the way, Hinge. Not a sponsor, but it's.
I've seen adverts for Hinge.
I just find there's a higher class of person than on Tinder or Bumble. Bumble's a bit better than Tinder. My hierarchy is Tinder.
Okay.
Bumble.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Hinge.
You're going from bottom to top, by the way, just for reference. For
And then
listeners.
Having a good enough personality to meet someone in real life, which I don't have.
So, not going to comment on the fact you were just ranking dating apps. Bit weird, but sure, we'll move past that.
Hey, I was single for several years. I used them all.
I bet you did.
To varying levels of success. and by which I mean zero. And then minus one.
And then 100 for this one. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. She is 100, you know.
Yeah.
She's 100 out of 100, if you're listening. she's not.
she's not listening. She will not listen to this.
No, she's definitely not listening. But yeah, so that's just, it's almost a year now. So, she's not listening. So I'm thinking of trying to sort of recreate.
I'm going to message her and tell her to listen
like,
to this
recreate
one.
Our first date, perhaps.
Oh,
but like
that
make
sounds
it,
cute.
But make it slightly more special.
Better, yeah.
Because when last time she had just come back from visiting her family, and so she was incredibly tired.
Yeah.
Which is probably why I seemed a bit more bearable than usual, because she was just kind of half asleep the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
But we went to the Drafts, the video, the
board
game.
Yeah, that's right. I remember now.
The board game cafe, and I resoundingly destroyed her at every single board game we played, because I just took advantage of the fact that she was so tired. Hey, you can't show weakness that early on.
I thought for a second that you were just going to say I resoundingly destroyed her.
No.
Full stop.
No,
and that's something completely different.
I wouldn't do that. And I wouldn't say that either. I can't remember any of the games we played.
No.
But yeah, and then I remember we sort of walked back to the station. I remember being very I'm not a particularly kind of forward person. And so I could tell that we were both standing there going, right, how does this date end? Because the date's gone very well. What? How do we say goodbye?
Yeah.
That's always been the thing with me. Like, do you go in for a kiss? Because if they don't want a kiss, then that's incredibly awkward way to finish.
Yep.
Because then...
Totally sex tape.
I've definitely had it where... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely had it where I've gone in and they've just gone, whoop, cheek first. And I've gone... hug, sort of try and disguise the fact that I always hug with my mouth out, going forward.
Yeah.
So in this one, I was like, I'm going to be safe, go for the nice, like slightly longer than average hug. Because not with a friend, you just hug 2 seconds maybe.
I feel like you've overthought it a little bit.
Oh, I overthink everything.
Yeah, I know you do.
And so I went. It was probably like a 5 second hug, and we were like, bye, because we were going different directions on the same train station.
Right.
But then we had the awkward moment of we both walked up to our platform and then we were just standing there
looking
at each other like, hi. So to ease it, I just kind of text her saying, what? that was fun.
That was...
And then luckily her train came up 30 seconds later, because it wasn't like, oh no, I don't want to look at you anymore. But it was kind of like, bye. Oh, but actually not bye. I actually had the same moment with Ollie last night.
Yeah.
Because we left the pub at the same time.
Right.
I was about 20 meters behind him the whole walk to the station. But he had his headphones in, and I kept sort of... And I realised that halfway through that he did, because I kept shouting his name, and he just was like, oh, he doesn't like me very much.
Yeah.
So I sent him a text saying, oh, you look really nice from the back. But then I saw him put away his phone just as I sent that. So then I had to extend him like 3 more texts saying, oh, by the way, I have been walking behind you this whole time, not just being weird. And then he was tapping in his like card to say that he'd arrived at the station.
Yeah.
And I went, hi. And he still had his headphones in. He didn't hear that either. So he just looked like he ignored me, walked up. And then he saw his phone. And then we had the moment where we kind of waved at each other for a bit. But then he recognized that it was awkward. So he then turned around and just started looking at somewhere else.
Amazing. Great story, Natson.
That's my story. And
but also, I was talking about D&D way ago before I got cut off by...
And you were saying that I talked
about
before this.
Whatever else we started talking about, I might actually be launching a D&D podcast.
Whoa.
I know. How crazy is that?
I'm going to plug that one.
I'm not, I,
do you want me to be on
we
it?
We don't... No, absolutely not. We don't even have a name.
Lusty McSwallow, that was the name of my...
That was the name of your D&D character that you made that one time.
I made that one time, and then I realised, my brain does not work in this way.
No. But, yeah, so I might be launching that sometime soon.
To do it, you should start a new D&D campaign with The Office.
No. And, I mean, I'd like to, but also no.
Oh.
So, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think we have enough time to do that. And especially, I don't think people are going to want to stay late after work to do it.
No, I want to. I keep wanting to start a Harry Potter podcast, but it's kind of like, what is there that hasn't been done?
Yeah.
What is there that hasn't been done to death, so that I could put another spin on it?
Yeah.
So, AndyWrestleTalk.com if you've got any ideas.
Anyway, so yeah. We should probably stop talking about stuff and actually
we're going live in 3 minutes.
Leave people 4 minutes and actually leave people to go and do anything else with their lives. So thanks very much for listening to this awful podcast.
Mm.
We'll be back soon on Tuesday. We've got the Raw review, back to the normal schedule, AEW, NXT, SmackDown, all that good stuff. Thanks very much for listening, everyone, and we'll see you soon. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.